Hey friends, so I heard your requests loud and clear, and I am here to deliver. Many of you have suggested that I turn my YouTube episodes into podcast episodes so that you're able to listen to them on the road while performing mindless tasks, etc., etc. So here is a previously recorded YouTube episode of Good Girls Gone Boss. Hope you enjoy it. Hi my loves, I am Lina Laura and welcome to the first ever episode of Good Girls Gone Boss. I wanted to start a new series on my channel where I talk about finances, entrepreneurship, financial independence, and so much more. Anyone who knows me knows how passionate I am about money management and obtaining wealth. Plus, my educational background is in accounting and finance, so I figured this series is only right. A lot of people like to shy away from talking about finances, but I grew up in a single mother household and watched her hustle and be the original boss babe, take care of three kids on her own, and build wealth from literally nothing. And she made it look so gracious. So naturally, talking about money just excites me. It gives me wings. It gives me life. I really hope you guys enjoy this new series and this podcast style YouTube video. I've really been loving podcasts lately. I listen to them in the car, at the gym, while I'm cleaning, and I just love the fact that you can still be productive while soaking up some knowledge. So, in our first Good Girls Gone Boss episode, I'm going to share with you how I saved $45,000 in 1 year on my own without completely changing my lifestyle, and how you can too. It doesn't matter how much money you currently make and what circumstances you're currently in, when it comes to money and obtaining a financial goal, it is always possible, and don't let anybody tell you differently. So the first thing we have to address is income. I'm going to keep it all the way 100. Okay, if you're currently making 30K a year and your goal is to save 50K, good luck. I'm never one to say something is impossible, so I won't. But I will say, I don't know what type of minimalist lifestyle you're attempting to live, but it's going to be tough to save 50K when you only make 30. Now, that isn't to say if you make a certain amount of money, you can't save. Absolutely not. You can actually save more than what your primary income is. I promise you, it is so much easier to do than you think. What you're going to need are side hustles. Odds of you saving so much more money now than you have in the past while working that one job that you've been working in the past are very slim. If you want different results, you've got to do different things, starting with a side hustle or side hustles with some S's on the end of that. So what can you do as a side hustle, you might ask? It's simple. Whatever you know how to do, someone else doesn't know how to do or doesn't want to do, and they're willing to pay you to do it for them. I'll give you an example. I started wearing makeup towards the end of high school, and in college, I was really confident in my makeup skills. My friends and family would always ask me to do their makeup when they're going out, and so I decided to leverage this. I designed some business cards on Dazzle.com. I set up a Facebook. I set up a Model Mayhem profile. I put up some ads on Kijiji, and the calls started pouring in. Next thing you know, I'm making hundreds of dollars a weekend, $1,000+ some weekends, and I still had a social life. I was still able to do the things I wanted to do on the weekend. And doing other people's makeup was actually fun as well. It was a little bit stressful, I'm not going to lie, because you want people to obviously love their makeup. Some people, it's their wedding and things of that nature. But ultimately, I was making a ton of money on the weekends doing something I enjoyed doing, something I was confident in, I loved doing, and I still was able to maintain a social life. If you guys want a whole video on side hustles and things you can do on the side to make money, definitely let me know, because I can definitely, and I would love to do a video on side hustles that are easy to start with very little money. So next, we'll talk housing. A majority of people's incomes are spent on housing, which is understandable. If you live at home, congratulations. Unless you are living in a circumstance that's unhealthy for you mentally or physically, consider staying at home until you've saved up a plump lump sum or have reached your saving goal. Anyone who pays rent or has a mortgage will tell you firsthandedly, it is definitely harder to save when you live on your own than it is when you live with your parents. If you think of it logically, that's a monthly expense that you have now that you didn't have before. So yeah, it might be uncomfortable or whatnot. It might not be where you want to be at the moment, but you know what's even more uncomfortable? Moving out and having to worry about how you're going to pay for next month's rent, how you're going to pay for next month's mortgage, electricity bill, etc. Think of it as temporary sacrifices for long-term victories. Now, if you live on your own, there are a few ways you can go about saving. Number one, you can consider putting your home on Airbnb a few days out of the month. I know here in Toronto, an Airbnb downtown Toronto can be like $300, $400 a night. Crazy. So if your rent, I'm using Toronto figures now, downtown Toronto, for example, and you put your home on Airbnb and your rent is $1,800, you put it on Airbnb for about 3 nights out of the entire month and you've already made half of your rent back. You can stay at a friend's house that night. You can stay at a significant other's house. You can stay at your parents' house for that night. And right there, you've made some extra income off of your home. So you can set up an arrangement with your friend who lives close by. So you, both of you guys put your homes on Airbnb and you just have an arrangement where when my house is on Airbnb, I stay over at your house. And when your house is on Airbnb, you can stay over at mine so that you guys are helping each other out to make that extra income with your homes. Now, this is pretty obvious, but I'm going to say it anyways as a disclaimer. You might want to take out super valuable things out of your house, like maybe your emergency fund, that shoebox underneath your bed with thousands of dollars in it. You might want to remove that. You know, just things that if they were to get damaged or removed, like you would be really upset about. You might not want to have those in your home just temporarily. Number two, if you rent, you can sublet your apartment if your lease allows you to, and just temporarily rent out your home for a month or two. People pay a premium to be able to stay in a furnished home as opposed to staying in a hotel if they're going to be visiting a city for a couple months, because they get the sense and feel that it's a home. Not only that, but it's actually cheaper to sublet an apartment that's already furnished than it is to get a hotel for an entire month. So you might want to consider subletting your apartment. Number three, if you own your home, you can put tenants into your home. You can do a short-term lease or you can do a long-term lease. That's also an option. Until you've saved up your ultimate goal, you can put tenants in your home. Maybe if you have a three-bedroom home, you can rent out one of the rooms. You might not be interested in having a roommate. However, you can conduct interviews and be very selective about who you choose to be your tenant. You can choose someone who works all the time and is in school as well, so they're barely home. And that way you barely notice that you even have a roommate. So the next tip I'm going to give you guys is to track your spending. When I used to bartend and waitress, I was making some of the best money I've ever made in my life, especially as a student. All I had to show for it, though, was a used car and two designer purses. Where did all my money go, you ask? I have no freaking idea. Why don't I know? Because I was making a ton of money in cash and I was spending my money in cash. So tracking your spending is crucial when you have any sort of financial goal, because in order to make better financial decisions, you need to know the type of financial decisions you're making right now. I like to use my credit card because I get points for every dollar I spend, and I'm also able to track my spending at the end of every month. I see how much my statement comes to, and I'm with RBC Bank. They're really great because they actually generate a pie chart every month that tells you how you've allocated your spending. So it tells me how much of my spending went to travel, went to food, went to entertainment. It's obviously an estimate because they don't know 100%, especially since I spend so much money at Walmart. However, it is great to see an estimate. And I can see when I first started tracking those pie charts, I was like, oh my God. I was able to look at my statements and be like, oh my God, I spent $1,800 this month on food. Why? What did I eat that was so miraculous that I could spend $1,800 on food? Absolutely ridiculous. So I knew that that's something I needed to track and be mindful of, and I was able to make adjustments. Granted, I'm still working on it. I'm a work in progress. Okay, I just really love food. So much. I really love food and it's hard for me to say no to food, but at least I'm mindful of it. I acknowledge it, and that's step number one. Hey friend, I hope you're enjoying the episode thus far. Wanted to briefly interrupt to let you know that if you want more content like this, definitely head over to www.goodgirlsgoneboss.com for a hub of amazing gems that'll help you level up financially and ultimately help you to become the best version of yourself. There, you'll find courses, workbooks, membership community of like-minded, positive bosses, and just a whole bunch of good stuff that await you over at www.goodgirlsgoneboss.com. Now, let's get back into the episode. But yes, getting back to tracking your spending, I really like my RBC credit card for this reason. I pay my credit card off in full at the end of every month, and I don't have to worry about any interest charges. I understand using a credit card isn't the best option for many people because some people have bad spending habits and might spend a lot more than they can pay. Also, some people don't have access to a credit card, might not have good credit. If you're in this circumstance, it is totally okay. I say use your debit card so you have some sort of electronic trail of how you spend your money. And if you're not able to use both debit or credit and your only option is to spend cash, then be sure to write down everything. You need to have a money journal, whether you keep that on your phone or in a book, whichever one's easier for you. I would say maybe download an app. There are a few budget apps available like Mint and Google Keep and Pocket Guard, and those allow you to track your spending. I think your phone is easy to track your spending in because you literally have it everywhere. Track the money that's coming in and track the money that's coming out. If you take away one thing from this at all, it's that it is so crucial, important, and essential for you to track your spending and track your money. So next up, I'm going to talk about partying because the year that I saved 45K, I was a quintessential party girl. I was 21 years old. And I think a lot of people look down upon partying and party girls, but as long as your priorities are in order, you should enjoy your life. You should live your best life. So my priorities are my three F's, and that is my faith, my family, and my finances. All three of those things were in check, so I was like, bring on the parties, honey. I was enjoying myself. Oh, well, you know what? We can throw another F in there, which are friends, okay? But yes, all of my priorities were in check. Everything was good. And so I loved partying. One thing that can really rack up your partying bills is drinking. When you go out to a club, I'm going to use Toronto figures because, you know, that's where I'm from. A drink is about $15. Meanwhile, a bottle of Captain Morgan is $15. So it's like a drink for $15 versus a bottle for $15. If you work in the restaurant industry or in the nightclub industry, you know that a majority of their revenue comes from alcohol sales because people will pay for alcohol. Who wants to go to a party and nobody's drinking? That is not a party. I'm sorry. People will pay that $15 for a drink. People will pay $30 for two drinks. However, if you pre-drink, you won't feel the need to drink when you first get into the club. If you live close by the entertainment district and the area that you're going to be partying, then pre-drink at your home. If one of your friends do, pre-drink at your friend's home. And if none of your friends do and you guys are all coming from far out distance to the party, then I would say put your drink in a disposable water bottle, pre-drink on your way there. Of course, you're not driving. Pre-drink in your Uber, pre-drink in your taxi, pre-drink in your whatever. But you're not drinking and driving. Let me put that out there. And yeah, when you get to the venue, you can easily just throw the water bottle out. Even if there's still liquor in it, you can just throw it out. No big deal. I do want to warn you, you don't want to get drunk before you get into the club because you might not get in. But yes, pre-drinking saves you so much money because not only do you have that bottle for the next time you go out, but you're not inclined to buy a first drink when you go out. If you're a female, I'm just saying, you're probably not gonna have to pay for your drink all night. But if you're a guy, at least you won't feel the need to buy bottles. Okay, so we're going to address popping bottles in the club. That's what we're not going to do. If you have any sense of money management skills, what we're not going to do is buy a whole section of the club, buy bottles at the club. It's not smart. It's not wise. That's just something that you can cut out of your spending habits. If you're the type to pay for bottles or sections at the club, you might want to stop. From a money management standpoint, it's one of the dumbest things you can spend your money on. I'm sorry, but buying bottles in the club is a no-no. And we're just gonna move along from that. Now, restaurants. I'm the type I really love to go out and eat with my friends. I love going to high-end restaurants. I love, like, good company and, like, trying out new places, new foods, just bougie little restaurants. We're talking about lifestyle here. So I would say if you're invited to a restaurant that seems like it's high end and you're trying to manage your money, one thing you can do is look at the menu before you go and have an idea of how much you're going to be spending before you head out. I really wish I could remember where I heard this tip from, but someone had mentioned if you're at a higher end restaurant and everything is just super expensive, order the soup. If main courses are about like $60 per plate, $50 per plate, normally the soup in comparison to that would be about 15. That's always an option. If you still want to be at high-end restaurants, you still enjoy being in good company, socialize and network. Speaking of food, one thing that I used to do when I go to the grocery store is, number one, I would go to the grocery store hungry. Bad idea. I already knew that that was a bad idea, but I used to do this because I didn't know what I wanted to eat when I was hungry. I would go to the grocery store and buy the default grocery list items, you know, your eggs, your bread, your cheese, your ham. And then I'd be at home, I'd be hungry, and I would look in my fridge and be like, I don't want any of this. I'm not craving any of this. So what I would do is I would go to the grocery store. Excuse my logic, okay? Pardon my irresponsible logic, but I would actually purposely go to the grocery store hungry so that I knew the next time I was hungry at home and I had a craving, I would actually have something available that I know I would crave. Not the smartest thing to do, because I would end up checking out at the grocery store with about a $250 grocery list. Wild, stupid, irresponsible. I would literally go aisle for aisle, walk up and down, and anything that caught my eye, anything that spoke to me and my taste buds, I would throw into the cart. And I would end up checking out with a $200 to $250 grocery bill every single week. Stupid, not logical, not responsible. One thing that really saved me is making a list before I hit the grocery store. It wasn't until I started making grocery lists that I was able to see that, that my bill would be significantly shorter. I kid you not, my grocery bill every month is about $50. That isn't with me even being modest. That is literally me picking up everything that I want. So all that extra stuff that I used to pick up, they were simply excess. Essentially, the tip that I would give to you guys is to create a list before you hit the grocery store. It'll save you time and it'll definitely save you money. You won't be inclined to impulse buy. So I hope those tips were helpful to at least one person. If you like this video, please give it a thumbs up. Subscribe to my channel if you're new. And leave a comment down below for any other tips that you have for saving money without altering your lifestyle too much. I hope you all found this video helpful, and I'll see you in our next Good Girl Gone Boss episode.